Amen. If the message in that song doesn't soften your heart, you may have more problems than what you realize. First of all, turn to Titus, the first chapter. Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse number 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, he's talking about religious folks. Those religious folks of his day, in the main, were Sadducees and Pharisees, two of the great Jewish religions. And we have two great religions today, Catholics and Protestants, of the same caliber. And what do you say? Whose mouths must be stopped. How do you stop them? With truth. You present the truth. Some people have the idea we need to learn what Protestants and the Catholics teach. We need to learn their doctrine. No, we need to learn the Bible doctrine. We need to learn the truth of God's word. And then when we see things that are contrary to that, we know we should oppose it. We should defend the truth. And in defending truth, you're opposing the false doctrine and false teaching. Okay, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. By the way, the subverting of houses, book of Matthew tells us that they may come fourfold more child of hell than they were in the beginning, I believe it is. False doctrine, false teaching. Did you know baptism for salvation is going to send multitudes to hell? They're going to be secure in their religion. Their conscience is going to be soothed, but they're going to die and go to hell because they're depending on their salvation, or their salvation depends on their baptism. Good works outweighing the bad. Having to produce good works so they'll be accepted. Going to send people to hell. Listen, that's the religious cry. That's the religious guy. That's why he said their mouths must be stopped. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Boy, do we have that. All you got to do is turn the TV or the radio on and we've got it. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables. Verse 13, but be sound in the faith. Be sound in the faith. Then look at the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, and verse number 8. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8. The Bible says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What is that faith? Is that faith in Christ? The believing faith to save the soul? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the faith, system of doctrine and practice. And the Bible refers to the faith of the gospel. Faith of the gospel. What is the faith of the gospel? The faith that upholds the gospel. The faith that preserves the gospel. The faith that presents the gospel. That's what we're talking about. Will he find faith on the earth when he comes? Will he find the faith? That's that system of doctrine and practice. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. Will he find that on the earth when he comes? Look at Jude 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," that's the struggle that I've had this week to bring me to this place. Whether to preach on salvation on Sunday morning or to preach on defending the faith. If we lose the faith, we've lost salvation. We lose the faith, we've lost the gospel. Again, the gospel is not baptism for salvation. The gospel is not good works for salvation. It's exactly the opposite. Forsake self and trust in Jesus Christ and the work that he did for our salvation. Most of Christianity today is dependent on themselves and not on Jesus and what he did. And they hold on to it and they won't let go. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." That we would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Who delivered them? Jesus did. The faith. Did you know that the faith is where all truth is? The faith is truth. The Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the Word of God. It's not the Word of man, it's the Word of God. And when Jesus, the question in John 17 was, what's truth? Jesus said, "My Word is truth." That's the all scripture. That's the Holy Bible. My word is truth. That's that faith. Will he find it when he comes? Well, I'll tell you what. Used to be a great stronghold of faith in this nation. Used to be a landmark Missionary Baptist church in every little podunk town in the state of Oregon. Where are the landmarkers now? How many are there? This nation, what made it strong was, first of all, to preserve Israel as a nation, and second of all, because there was a great stronghold of New Testament churches in this country. The truth was upheld. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's see the importance of this faith. Romans first chapter, verse 5. "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Paul was to be obedient to the faith, obedient to the faith for all nations, for all of mankind. There's one faith, one system of doctrine and practice. And bless your heart, it's important that we preserve that, because within that, all other hope that man has or can ever have is caught up in all of that. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians verse 13, the Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Men, God made you the head of a household. He intends for you to be solidly grounded in the faith, and for you then to present and for that faith to your household, to your family. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Notice every time he talks about the faith, it's urgent. It's so important. He's emphatic about it. Watch, stand, contend, and so forth. Quit you like men. Be strong. Prove yourself. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Look at 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate?" Examine yourself. Prove your own self. Continue in the faith. Look at Colossians 1 and verse number 23. Colossians 1. And verse number 23, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister." Prove yourself, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. And then continue in the faith. Look at Colossians 2 and verse number 7. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." Established in the faith. Brother, throughout the entire Bible, the faith is emphasized. That makes it the most important commodity that we have. And that's why he said, stand and contend for that faith. In Acts 13, in verse number 8, there's a fella, Elymas the sorcerer. He sought to turn Deputy Sergius Paulus from the faith. Acts 13. Verse number 8. "But Elymas the sorcerer," for so is his name in interpretation, "without them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Turn him from the faith. Turn him from the truth. Turn him from God's word. Turn him from God's influence. Did you know that everything we have around us in this world today, both religious and worldly, is drawing us away and keeping us from the word of God and from the faith, from the doctrines, the principles. Every effort in all of our world today is pulling men away. We got those little things we go around, we just can't leave alone. We got it standing up, sitting down, and probably most many times in the shower, messing with the phone. That's to draw us away. All of these modern conveniences is to draw us away from the word of God. You say, "But I got the Bible on my phone." I'll bet you that the Bible is not plucked nearly as much as all the other stuff that's on there. To draw us away. From what? Away from the faith. Paul and Barnabas in Acts the 14th chapter and verse number 22 exhort to continue in the faith. 14 and verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. To continue in the faith. Churches in the 16th chapter and verse 5 were established in the faith. 16th chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 5 says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That ought to be a clue, brethren. When a church is established in the faith, it'll increase in number. When the church is grounded in the faith, it'll increase in number. How does it work? Hide your word in heart and not sin against you? Well, that's the faith. Then when you have a knowledge, you don't have to be ashamed. If you studied and rightly divided, you know the truth, and you'll share that truth. You'll desire to share that truth. You'll reach out to others. You'll want more people to be here to enjoy the faith and the benefits that it gives and that it brings into the heart and into the life. Churches here were established in the faith, and then it says they increase. And then in Philippians 1 and verse number 27, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look at that. Several verses of scripture here in our reading has connected the gospel and the faith. Again, the faith is that which preserves the gospel of Christ. The faith is that truth that abounds. Look at the third chapter here, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect and thus minded, and if any thing you be other minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So we are to mind the same thing. We're to contend to the same thing. We're to, in harmony as far as it comes to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There's only one true faith and system of doctrine or body of truth. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible says, one Lord, one faith. As there's only one Lord, Jesus Christ, there's only one faith, one system of doctrine and practice. God is not the author of confusion. And on one hand, you teach one thing, and on the other hand, you teach something different. That's confusion. On one hand, it's salvation by grace through faith. On the other hand, it's good works. On the other hand, it's water baptism. On the other hand, it's something else. It can't all be of God. Only one can be. All churches cannot be of God because they all preach, teach, and practice something different and come from some other place. But there is a church because Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There is a true church as there is the true faith. And in that true church, he preserves that true faith. Now, we got a bunch of perverted versions of the Bible that are being accepted all over, all around, even by some of the Lord's churches. But there are many of the Lord's churches that say, no, we'll not accept it because it come from perverted origin. It is not modernizing the language of the King James. And that's what they come out with in the beginning. They are perversions. And so the New Testament churches stand and preserve that truth. And that truth, because there is only one body of truth or system of doctrine. What will happen concerning the faith in these last days that we're living in today? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the first three verses, or the first six verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So, some shall depart the faith. Some will deny the faith. Look at 5 and verse 8. It says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while... Wrong verse of scripture. But anyway, it's a good one. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. What? That's verse 6. Okay, verse 8. Alright. This side, I don't see very well out of. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. All right, there it is. Denied the faith and is worse than infidel. Thanks for the help. Some shall be seduced from the faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They've erred from the faith with reference to the love of money and the pleasures of this world. Some have erred from the faith. 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21. Says, O Timothy, keep that which he has committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. By the way, the faith contains true science. And everything that exists out here will be confirmed by the truth of God's word. Now, man has to mess it all up, give his own ideas and opinions, but when you stay with that faith, that system of doctrine, the word of God, it'll reveal the truth and the reality of all of it, whether it be or whatever that it might be. Science equals knowledge, not only of the material, but the spiritual always. And there's spiritual illumination involved with discovery in science. How do we treat these individuals that depart and resist and fight against the faith of the truth of God's word? Look at 2 John. beginning of verse 6, it says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If then that doctrine of Christ, again, is that faith that was once delivered to the saints. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Who's he talking to? Verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady." The only elect lady I know in the scripture is the New Testament church. And then down below it says, "The children of the elect sister greet thee, amen." Sometimes churches get so independent, they're independent of the faith. And instead of following that, they're following the feelings and the emotions of men. We need to follow the truth, the word of God. Titus 3 and verse number 10. "Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." Ten. Okay. "A man that is," okay, "is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject." Boy, I'm needing a lot of help this morning. At any rate, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. "If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words thereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmise, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain." Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. This is how that we're to treat and to deal with these types of individuals. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine," or that faith, "which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and thy good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Galatians 1. Again, verse 6 says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Does he take it seriously? Absolutely. Does he want us to have it his way? No question. But why is it he wants us to have it his way? It's because that's where we receive the blessings of the Lord, as abiding in the truth, or that faith that was once delivered to the saints. Why? We've gone through a lot here. Some of you have already been bored by it. Shame on you if you are. But listen, it's important that we understand, especially in this day, because everybody, every day just about, is coming up with a new way to serve the Lord. And the idea is, I can serve him my way, you serve him your way, and we're going to accomplish the same thing. No, you're not. If we don't do it his way, if we don't do it according to that faith once delivered to the saints, it's not going to profit or benefit us at all. As a matter of fact, it's going to hurt us in the long run. And even if a person's saved and they get caught up in that, they're going to lose any reward that they might have. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there in 2 John, he warns that we not lose some of our reward that we receive. Well, why are we earning rewards? We're earning rewards to lay them at the feet of Jesus one of these days. We're not earning them for ourselves or to lift up ourselves or benefit ourselves, but for the benefit of Jesus and the way to really, truly express our love for him for what he has done for us. And what has he done for us? He suffered, he bled, he died, he was buried, and he rose again for our justification, that we might realize how good that he was in dying for our sins and taking our place, receiving our punishment, and that we can understand the great love that he has, and that his desire is that we return a love for him. You know what? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it's beginning to be one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it leaves us free, and he wants us to volunteer. He wants us to volunteer. He that gives willfully, not of necessity, but a cheerful giver, willing. Why? What's the motivation? Our love for him because of what he did. Now, what does that bring us to? That brings us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ for the saving of the soul. One must see the goodness of God, and the Bible says the goodness of God leads him to repentance, leads him to turn from self and turn from sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting and depending upon what he has done. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, easiest thing in the world, but we make it hard because we're not willing to turn loose. We're not willing to let go. We're not willing to let him have his way in our life. Because the thought is, he doesn't deserve to have our way. But yes, he does. Because we're here because he brought us into this world. And we've prospered in life because he lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust alike. He gives opportunity. And when men will take advantage of that opportunity, saved or lost, he'll bless them materially and worldly. And then seeing the goodness of it should cause us to turn from ourselves and doing it ourselves, and then let the Lord. You know what? God's people live for themselves, and it comes time for them to go on to be with the Lord. And all of a sudden they realize what a place they're in, because they've wasted this life. When they stand before the Lord, they'll stand there empty-handed. But it's too late. Too late. You can't go back. Need to accept it now. Need to accept that faith once delivered to the saints that preserves that gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation, that can deliver men from the bondage and condemnation of sin. Change their destiny from the pits of hell to the portals of heaven. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God convicts your heart, come to Jesus. What shall we sing, brother, as we stand?
379.
Once you come, not ask you to come to me, not ask you to come to the church, I'm asking you to come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to let me have my way in your life or the church have its way in your life, but I'm asking you to come and let Jesus have his way, to submit to his will, to follow and continue in that faith that was once delivered to the saints.